Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Almost 2 years on from the introduction of mandatory reporting, teachers have reported almost 4,500 concerns over suspected child abuse. Since December of 2017, teachers are among the people now legally required to report any knowledge, any belief or reasonable suspicions of child abuse or neglect. And in the last 20 months, one in five of the reports received by TUSLA were submitted by teachers registered with the Teaching Council. On the line, I'm joined by the Assistant General Secretary of the ASTI, Moira Layden. Moira, good evening.
Good evening, Mary.
So what is the process? I mean, how does it work if a teacher in a classroom has a worry or a suspicion?
Well, first of all, it's a very well-established process, Mary. Long before December 2017, schools were under obligation within a broad legal framework to be aware of, respond to and report concerns, allegations or suspicions of child abuse or neglect. So it's not just confined to the physical or sexual abuse, but also extends into neglect. And what really happened was with the Children First Act 2015, it designated a number of professionals who work very closely with children as mandated professionals. And in other words, they are, as mandated professionals, they must engage in stipulated processes about how to report allegations or suspicions of child abuse or neglect. So it is, what really happened in December 2017 was more of a formalisation of, shall we say, system practice, which was well embedded by 2017.
But it is on a mandatory footing now. And, you know, when you talk about signs, what are some of the signs that perhaps might alert a teacher that there might be something going on?
Well, teachers are really, really very in tune with their students, and also they would all have been required to take part in HSE training once the new situation was introduced once the mandatory reporting was introduced in 2017. So there has been a good degree of training. It has been absolute, every teacher has been obliged to participate in it. So the abuse is defined across a spectrum ranging from emotional abuse, neglect, physical or social. So let's just take a very concrete example. You'll have teacher Frances, who teaches physical education and she teaches French. She's got the same kids in front of her, you know, two, three times a week, etc. And what's typical, very much so for teenagers, perhaps compared to younger children, is unexplained and social withdrawal, not engaging with the peer group, and of course a total drop or a very sudden drop in academic engagement or learning in the classroom. So quite typically, a teacher will be aware of these signs and will, as they say, keep an eye out.
Keep an eye and then report upward.
If they start to get concerned, I mean, they might, for example, let's say you're looking at a child who's coming to school every day, unwashed, unkempt, never have the books, the biros, the workbooks, etc. Never appear to have proper food or have money for lunch in the school canteen or whatever. So this will be a very classic symptoms of neglect. And teachers, as I said, have been trained to be able to be observant and to put two and two together. And once a teacher would have those concerns, they would, of course, informally chat with colleagues. But what they are required to do then, once those concerns become at a level where the teacher says this really can't be let rest, they must go to the school principal. And the school principal, under the procedures, is defined as the designated liaison person. And they will then look at they will have a deep, intensive analysis of what's going on. They will revert to the guidelines which stipulate criteria for risk. And if both the teacher and the principal decide, yes, what we are talking about meets the criteria of risk, they then must make formal written reports to TUSLA.
And it's handed over then to TUSLA. Have you ever seen a situation where, you know, I suppose angry parents who might find a social worker on their doorstep arriving down to the teacher and saying, this is all your fault, you made this complaint?
We haven't heard from the school management bodies or from our teachers to stories to that effect. I imagine they do happen.
Yeah.
But I do think that the procedures, as I say, the culture is well established in schools about as regards awareness, alertness, and what to do if you have concerns. And I think schools are handling this extremely efficiently, with confidence, both in the procedures, but also with confidentiality. And of course, the school's duty is the duty of care to the student. They have to report their concerns. It is then up to TUSLA or the guards to engage with the family or the parents.
To take it from there.
And I think at that stage, you know, the experience of schools has been that it's no longer in their hands. That this, that they it's not always the family, of course, but the adult who is engaging in this criminal or illegal behaviour is actually, in a way, they are actually protected from this adult to a very large degree because they have been following the procedures.
It has moved through the procedures. Moira Layden from the ASTI, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary.